up at how wonderful God is. And when we look up and acknowledge God's wonder and grace, all of a sudden our worship comes alive and our worship becomes passionate because we realize what Christ has done for us. Also this morning is World Communion Sunday, which is why we have all the flags up. And those that put the flags up had a very great idea of putting the American flag here in the front and the Korean flag there on, over there. So we're celebrating. World Communion Sunday means that everyone, every Christian around the world who's in church this Sunday is having communion. And it's wonderful to think about sort of a global perspective in all of this, that we are not alone as we celebrate communion. We are joining with Christians around the world in the Lord's Supper, which demonstrates to us God's passion for us in giving his life for us, giving everything for us, pouring himself out for us so that we could be a part of God's family. So with that in mind, I encourage you to engage in passionate worship this morning. And to get us started, let us join in the call to worship that will be on the screens. Come, let us worship the Lord. May our hearts overflow with gratitude, for God is good. Amen. Let us worship.
God's word tells us that if, as we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous and just to forgive us our sins. Friends, let us read together the prayer of confession today. Would you join with me? O Lord, we pray that you would forgive us when we come to worship, asking ourselves that we will get out of it. So often we focus on our needs first when worship is meant to be about you and praising you for who you are. Shift our focus today, O Lord. May we look up with grateful hearts for your majesty, your power, and your everlasting love. May we worship you for who you are today with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now hear the good news. God is willing to cleanse us from our pride, our blindness, our stubbornness, insistence on having things our way when we look up to him and ask forgiveness. And the good news is that through God's grace, we are washed and forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, and once again, welcome to worship. We're so grateful that you've come to worship with us today. What a joy to all be together on this Communion Sunday in God's house. Just want to remind you that we do have black books. If you'll hold your black books up, right there, you've got them. Would you just sign your name in? Let us know you're here. We would just like to say hello to you. So thank you very much for doing that. And then we have our prayer cards, and people every week put their prayer requests on these cards and they put them in the offering. And I want to invite you to do that, encourage you to do that. They are prayed for weekly and the prayer may be confidential if you would like it to be confidential. And in a moment we're going to stand and greet each other. And as we stand and greet each other, the children will be dismissed to their classes, and also the deacons who are going to be installed for ordination will come forward also at that time. So would you just stand, and this is maybe the most important part of worship for some people who just need to know that someone next to them really cares for them. Would you just stand and say, I care for you. Okay, would you just stand? Even though you don't mean it, you can still say it, okay?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us another beautiful Sunday morning to come into your house and be able to worship you, Lord. Throughout the past week, as we lived our lives, we acknowledge that we have sinned against you, knowingly or unknowingly. We ask for your forgiveness. As a congregation of believers, help us to be passionate for your worship. Help us to recognize the fact that we are so blessed to have the freedom to worship you every day without any persecution like some of the oppressed countries around the world. For this, we thank you so much. Please help us to have gratitude in our hearts each and every day. Yesterday, we as a church had the opportunity to serve the less fortunate at the refuge. I pray that everyone who was served a meal was blessed by it, not only through the meal, but also through God's words. At the same time, I pray for everyone who has served was also blessed through their work of kindness. As we serve the community, please help us to recognize the abundant love you have for us and the people around our community. I would also like to pray for the people who are affected by Hurricane Harvey, Irma, Maria, and also the earthquake in Mexico. As they go through the recovery phase, please help everyone through these challenging times. Please guide each family to be able to return to their lives as normally as possible and keep them safe. As we listen to today's sermon regarding passionate worship, please help everyone to be blessed by today's message throughout the whole week. And please help Pastor Kim and anoint her lips as she delivers your words this morning. We thank you for all of your providence in our lives. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And all the God's people pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, choir, for that wonderful anthem. This morning, as I read the scripture to you, in honor of our core value, passionate worship, we're going to have a refrain sung after at least the first two scriptures, all right? So the first scripture is Isaiah 6, 1 to 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory."
Holy, 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 holy.
Then Romans 12:1-2 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
Here I am, holy.
Finally, Colossians 3:16-17. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Would you pray with me? Lord God, as we ponder the meaning of worship and as we thank you from our hearts for who you are, may you fill us with your Spirit, that our worship and our praise of you this morning might be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as we move into passionate worship, talking about passionate worship a little bit this morning, it reminded me of a story. An older gentleman who had been a Christian for a long time decided to attend a large mega church one day in the city, one Sunday, instead of going to his longtime mainline traditional church in their rural community. He'd gone there year after year. He decided, well, I'm going to try this mega church. He came home from there and his wife asked him how it had been. "Well," said the man, "yeah, it was good. You know, they did something different, however. They sang praise songs instead of hymns." "Praise songs," said his wife. "What are those?" "Oh, they're okay," said the older man. "They're sort of like hymns, only they're different." "How are they different?" asked his wife. The man said, "Well, it's like this. If I were to say to you, 'Martha, the cows are in the corn,' well, that would be a hymn. If on the other hand I were to say to you, 'Martha, Martha, Martha, oh Martha, 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 the cows, the big cows, the brown cows, the black cows, the white cows, the black and white cows, the cows, cows, cows are in the corn, are in the corn, are in the corn, 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 are in the corn, are in the corn, are in the corn, 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 the cows are in the corn, corn, corn,' then if I were to repeat the whole thing about seven times, well, that would be a praise song." A younger man, however, who normally attended a mega church in the city, was visiting relatives in a small town one weekend and attended their mainline church. He came home and his wife, whose name was Martha too, asked him how it went. "Well," said the young man, "it was good. They did something different, however. They sang hymns instead of praise songs." "Hymns," said his wife. "What are those?" "Oh, they're okay," he said. "They're sort of like praise songs, only they're different," said the young man. "Well, how are they different?" asked his wife. The young man said, "Well, it's like this. If I were to say to you, 'Martha, the cows are in the corn,' well, that would be a praise song. If, on the other hand, I were to say to you, O Martha, dear Martha, hear thou my cry. Turn thou thy whole wondrous ear by and by to the righteous, immutable, glorious truth, for the way of the animals is terribly uncouth. There in their heads is no shadow of sense. They sneak into my corn unless they are fenced. They have broken their shackles. Their warm pens eschewed all mild sweet corn. They have utterly chewed. So look to that bright shining day by and by where no vicious animal will make my soul cry. And he said, if you sing that through with the organ and then do a chord change for the last verse, that's a hymn. Well, needless to say, although that's funny, it's so often where churches get hung up on worship, right? Arguments about music have been in every church that I've worked in for as long as I can remember. And for some, you know, hymns are too slow, too old-fashioned, we're bored. Why can't the church move into the 21st century? We're just not getting anything out of it, we might say. Or the music's too loud, it's too fast, no theology, too repetitive. Why can't we sing the old hymns that we were raised with? We're just not getting anything out of it. Now, I'm not saying that we don't strive to do well in worship here, and we do try to do both hymns and praise songs in West Valley every service, but let me remind everyone here that worship is not about us. It is not about what I get out of it. Worship is supposed to be all about God and who God is. I found a slide of all the names of God. Look at that. Master Jehovah, Abba, Father, Love, Almighty, Creator. I mean, look at all those amazing words. King of Kings. These are all names of God reminding us of who it is we worship when we come here. And here's another names for God in the Old Testament, the place where God's supposed to be really mean. Well, it's not true. You know, this is the one who died for you, and I don't know if you can read it, but it says, the strong one who sees, the God of power and might, the Lord who will provide, the one who sanctifies you, my banner and victory, my shepherd, the one that heals, the Lord of hosts, God is peace, the Lord who is present, the Lord our righteousness. This is the one that we come into the presence of when we come here to worship. This is who God is. This is the one, folks, who's given you breath, who's given you this day to live. Can you understand why worship has to be passionate and calls us to focus upward on Jesus and get out of ourselves? We saw even in the Old Testament scripture this morning how the seraphim were praising God. Holy, holy, holy. That means other than us. That's what holy means. Other than us is the Lord God of hosts. He's almost too wonderful for us to even talk about. He's beyond words. Heaven and earth, though, are full of your glory. Thank you, God. Are we grateful today? Are you grateful today for who God is for you? Do you want to say thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done for me? Is your praise of God coming from a heart that is grateful and full of joy? You see, the best part of it all is that when we truly place our focus on who God is, our worship services become vital. They become vibrant. They become passionate. What makes worship boring is not the style of the music or the flow of the service. Worship is boring when it no longer is about how wonderful Jesus is, on focusing on how wonderful Jesus is. And yes, we may use video and we may use lights. We may use organs or guitars or drums to enhance the worship experience. But the point is that all those things should point us upward to God and help us to know him and understand him and adore him more fully. Scripture that we read says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude, yes, in your hearts to God. So clearly worship's all about the heart, having gratitude to God and then expressing that fully, bringing our whole selves to this moment right now and not holding back. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Greek word here for richly means an abundance, an overflowing abundance, the kind of rich. The kind of rich that makes you say, no one should have that much money. All right? That's the kind of rich we're talking about. You want to see passionate worship? One of our core values here at West Valley Expressed? That's easy. Let the word of Christ fill you so fully that you burst. Let the joy of God fill you so abundantly that people would say, no one should have that much joy. When we focus on God and worship Him, that focus on God and His goodness changes us. And let me say also that we limit our understanding of worship when we think of it as just singing and music or just a worship service for 1 hour, all right? Did you catch one of the other scriptures we read? The one that said, present yourself as a living sacrifice, for this is your spiritual worship. What does that mean? It means that every part of our lives, no matter what we do or how we go about our day, all of it, if we're doing it right, our whole lives ought to be an act of worship as we constantly are looking to God from a place of abundant gratitude and doing everything for God's glory and honor to lift Him up. To say thank you. Thank you, thank you. Where would I be without your amazing grace, your steadfast love, your constant companionship, and Holy Spirit power that you've given to me? Thank you so much, Jesus. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, for this is your spiritual worship. You know what the problem with a living sacrifice is? It keeps trying to climb down off the altar. Right? Friends, that's why we gather here, to encourage each other, to inspire ourselves as the body of Christ, to keep at it, to keep praising, to keep living our lives in such a way that everything we do is focused on glorifying God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the 5 practices of fruitful congregations from which comes our core values, Richard Schnaes writes, God in Christ changes people's lives through passionate worship services. Passionate worship in church stirs people's souls, inspires them, and strengthens them. They find such help and courage and belonging and care that they cannot help but talk about the sermons, ideas, stories, music, and prayers during the week. Friends, what the church has to offer the world in worship every Sunday is meant to spill over into every part of our lives. This joy in the goodness of God cannot be had anywhere else. You can't get it at the beach, and you can't get it on the golf course, and you can't get it drinking coffee and listening to the news on Sunday morning. The good news of Jesus makes all the difference in the world, and we believers need to offer ourselves wholly and completely in gratitude to God on Sunday mornings, so whether we sing hymns or praise songs, whether we lift our songs with organ or guitar, we need to worship in deep gratitude to God in such a way that when we leave these walls, when we walk out of the doors here, the message goes out with us, spilling over throughout the week. The message and the worship allows us to live our lives with abundance and hope. May so that we can continue to grow in our passionate love for Jesus Christ. Now, at this point, I'd like to have Glenn come forward and share with you this morning. Come on up, Glenn. If you've noticed, Glenn worships with passion. He's got his hands in the air. He's got a wonderful story to share with you. In his case, because he loves music, he found expression of his worship, his passionate worship, coming through song. And this is an amazing faith testimony that Glenn will share with you, because it's so easy sometimes to let the difficulties of this life, or just this life in general, we kind of get tunnel vision and we forget to look up. Sometimes it's hard to look up. It's hard to worship because not everything goes our way all the time. But Glenn kept worshiping God despite adverse circumstances. And here's what happened. Glenn, thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Praise God for this wonderful family. I usually sit behind the keyboard there, behind the piano, and I'm on my own. I guess Pastor Kim saw my and said, come, give testimony. I'd like to share with you the tremendous impact that praise has had on my life, especially during the last 3 years. It has a really deep meaning that when Pastor Engelman asked me to talk about passionate worship, well, I guess I must have been a little bit passionate, so here I am today. In September 2016, I lost my job after 23 years. It was a part of a workforce reduction. For the better part of the 20 years, I had a very fruitful career, creating new divisions, leading merger and acquisition efforts, defining new products, and even more. But in the last 2 years of my work, the situation took a nosedive, like stepping off the edge of the Grand Canyon nosedive. I had 9 managers in 18 months. I'd go to meetings, and in public, my peers would openly attack me and say, "You don't know what you're talking about." I became really aware that I was a black sheep in my department. Had no idea why. The rate that this happened to me was too fast. It was too fast and too sudden and just too fierce. It could only happen by the hand of God. My professional reputation, acquired over 20 years of diligent work, wiped out in a span of months. And I would pray and pray, but there was never a direct answer. So all I could do was really persevere for the glory of God. But you know, it's hard to live day to day and month to month when you're living in such oppressive conditions. Now, our Korean praise team would practice on Wednesdays, and I just happened to come by, and their music is so gifted, and I think we've all experienced that here in some of the joint worship. It just draws you in. So I started coming on Wednesday evenings just to listen. I'd sit down right here, right in the second pew. The keyboardist was right up front. And I'd watch the keyboardist play, and maybe I'd learn something, hope to learn something. But mostly I just came to soak in the music. When you're surrounded by heavenly music, praise music, it's like sitting in a warm bath. That seat that I sat in was underneath one of the ceiling lights in the sanctuary, in our sanctuary over in Onori Church. And I closed my eyes, and I lift my hands to God. And sitting in that pure light, surrounded by this wonderful praise music, I knew I was sitting in the presence of God. And I was shielded from the woes of the world, and I was experiencing the shalom of God, the peace of God. And when the praise team played a song that I knew, I just start to sing along. Now, I should mention one thing, and the folks from Onori already know this, but I really don't speak Korean. I mean, I can read the characters, and I recognize words here and there, and if I string them together, I can figure out what's going on. But I have a very basic understanding, and that's about it. Yet as I was sitting there in his presence, singing with the Korean praise team, it didn't matter if I mispronounced the words. It didn't matter if I sang off key. God always seemed to respond with this shalom. 우라 주님 구름 타시고 나파불레에 다시 오시네. Oh, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There was no worldly judgment. God's presence, His holy presence was just there with me. The more that I sang, the more that I offered my heart, the more the shalom of God. And during those 2 years in my condition, there were weeks when I needed a lot of shalom. But you know what? It didn't matter what was the condition of my heart. God already knew that. God is omniscient. He knows everything. So I came to realize that praising God is our voluntary and intentional act of love and humility. Saying, "Lord, my heart is yours in whatever condition it is." And that is what I think God, our loving Father, wants. When that day in September 2016 came, finally, and my manager let me know that I was going to be let go, I had no anger, no frustration, and no discouragement. I believe that God had protected my heart through those 2 years on those Wednesday evening times when I sat down and had my passionate prayer. So now when I praise the Lord, I fear not the judgment of the world. I praise loudly and strongly. For he lifted me during the dark days. He was always there. His touch was gentle and caring. And most importantly, the Lord our God, our Father, is deserving of my passionate prayer. In a moment, I'm going to lead you in a song of response. But before I do that, I'd like to do a little prayer activity with you. So if you would, in front of you, hold your hands as if to receive a blessing from God. And let's close our eyes and bow our head. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here with us today. And I ask that you would speak to my brothers and sisters in truth and love. Let them see the truth as you see it, Father. In your hands, imagine you are holding your heart. How does it look? What color is it? How full is it? Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us.
Lord God, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you that our chains are gone and our hearts are set free. And as we look at how you have poured yourself out as a living sacrifice for us, may you set these elements apart from a common to a sacred use that you might be glorified. May we take these elements gratefully today, worshiping you passionately for your love for us in Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant or the new agreement in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again. So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. All who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to participate. If you would take the bread upon receiving it individually as a sign of your individual relationship with Jesus Christ, and then hold the cup and we'll take it together as a symbol of our community of faith, worshiping God. Take these elements with gratitude. And passion, being aware of the one who gave himself for you as a living sacrifice. Friends, these are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Today, together as the body of Christ here at West Valley and with Christians all over the world, let us partake of the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. 15 through 30-something, invited. Go over to IHOP. Even if you didn't get our email, please come. We're trying to form a young adult group. It's going to be great. I just want to ask Glenn to come up here. Would you give him a hand for being so willing to share this morning? Just what a blessing. And he's going to go out and stand at the door. Please let him know how much his testimony blessed you today. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit who gives and gives and gives be with you all. Amen. All right.